The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm. Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater will be your team in the studio. It's Beverley, Warwick and Perth on Thursday afternoon. We finish the day with evening racing from Brighton and Newcastle, so five meetings to look forward to on Thursday. Plenty to go up. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, Mark. Yeah, looking forward to all this wonderful action that's coming our way over the next few days.
Yes, coming thick and fast at the moment, the racing, with the return of evening racing as well. And we've got a big weekend coming up at Sandown with the end of the jump season there, and we've also got a big week coming up in just 2 weeks' time. It's the Guineas. So what we'll do is we'll start with a quick look at Sandown. We'll then talk about some of the stories related to the Guineas, and we'll move on to Thursday's racing after that. So this Saturday at Sandown is the big jumps finale, and the big race there is the Bet365 Gold Cup, and we've got betting on site for that race at the moment with 10-1 co-favourites of 4. Bury Parade, God's Me Judge, Same Difference and Spring Heeled currently topping the betting. Ardkilly Witness is 12-1, as is Roalco de Farge. It's 14-1 for Burton Port, Hadrian's Approach, No Secrets and Poongach. 16-1 for Any Currency and Chartreux and Gallant Oscar, and in fact Hublon de Zobo and Midnight Appeal and There's No Panic, so a whole host of them on 16s there, and 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. Mightily competitive end to the season. Craig, what stands out for you in that race?
Yeah, I've got at this stage of proceedings, Mark, I've got a shortlist of three runners. It's obviously a really competitive end to the National Hunt season, and I think the first horse that could go well here is God's Me Judge, who was second in the Scottish National up at Ayr just a couple of weeks ago. Comes here off the same mark of 1.45. Clearly goes well at this time of year, as he'd won that big event up at in Scotland 12 months ago, and you know, it was a great effort to finish second this time around, and off the same mark, he's got to be a big player. The second horse on the list is a horse trained by Nicky Henderson, Hadrian's Approach, who actually finished fifth in this race last year, Mark. But he looked back at his jumping last year and he was making real novice-y mistakes that was costing him. And in this race itself, he made, you know, numerous blunders on the way around. It was a really good effort to finish fifth. I think his jumping this season has been a little bit more assured.
Yeah.
And that will stand him in good stead for a race of this nature. He, you know, let's not forget, he is still only a seven-year-old. So there is room for improvement in his jumping for Hadrian's Approach. So he would be on the shortlist. And the other one, again, relates back to a previous renewal of this race, and that was the 2012 running where Roalco de Farge was a very, very good second to Tidal Bay off a mark of 134. If he takes his chance here, he was pulled up in the Scottish National. He'll be off a £1 higher mark, 135. He never looked a Scottish National type to me because he's a hold-up horse, and hold-up horses at Ayr never really seem to get into the race. It's quite a quick track where, you know, the nature of the race suits prominent style of runners. He was always up against it. Richard Johnson pulled him up. He looked after him. You know, I think he's the real type that you need for this kind of race at Sandown. Of the three on the shortlist, he would be he'd be heading the three runners, and he'd be at this stage anyway. He'd be the strongest of the three. But you know, as the numbers and the entries suggest, it's going to take some finding winner of this year's renewal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and God's Me Judge currently 10-1, Roalco de Farge is 12s, and Hadrian's Approach 14. So some nice each way prices in there. Obviously, the first four will make a return on the each way betting. We've also got we're probably going to see Saida Grugy in action at Sandown as well in the Celebration Chase, a race which he won last year, and his form this season has been, it's been impeccable, hasn't it?
It has indeed, Mark. And, you know, fair play to Connections. He's a high-class two-mile chaser. He hasn't been wrapped in cotton wool. We've seen him, you know, line up in all the big events this year, and he was rewarded with success in the Queen Mother Champion Chase at Cheltenham. Fabulous horse, tremendous training performance by Gary Moore, and obviously with the demise of Sprinter Sacra this year, he's going to take all the beating. He's, you know, Sprinter Sacra report, he is the best 2 mile chaser in the country.
Yeah, yeah, and definitely on this season's form, he's the best this season. So
yeah, definitely. So he's going to take some beating. Obviously, Nicky Henderson looks like finishing second in the National Hunt Trainers title this year to Paul Nichols. Well, Paul Nichols is guaranteed success already. Just I think, is it Nicky Henderson? Has he got competition for John Joe?
He might have, yeah.
For second,
I do.
Not too sure how they stand on that. But, you know, he'll be looking to get his big guns back next year, the likes of Sprinter Sacra and Simon Sig, to try and regain his title. But, yeah, very, very interesting end of season. Climax in Sir de Grugy. Real credit to Connections.
Yes. Anything else stand out for you at Sandown this weekend?
To be honest, Mark, I haven't really had a look at the rest of the entries on the card. I'm, you know, trying to concentrate more on the flat at this time of year. And it'll be Friday before I really get to look through the card in its entirety. But yeah, it promises to be a cracking meeting this year. Obviously a little change to the meeting because we've got an all flat card on the Friday and an all jumps card to close the National Hunt season on the Saturday. Well, last year we had the mixed flat and jumps on the Saturday card. So yeah, promises to be a good finish to what's been a very good National Hunt season.
Yeah, just got the standings up as well for the Trainers' Championship. Paul Nichols, as you say, guaranteed the win. Nicky Henderson, barring... I think he's going to finish second. They've got, yeah. He's on 1.3 million. And the nearest pursuer is Alan King on just short of a million. Philip Hobbs on 856,000. And Nigel Twiston Davis and John John, the 800... Ooh.
I thought John Joe would be a lot higher than that.
Actually, John Joe's only 641,000 at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. He's had a great season, John Joe.
Yeah.
Stairs Hurdle, Paddy Power Gold Cup. Of course, the win on Monday in the Irish National, that won't be in those figures because it'll just be for runners and winners at this side of the sea, of course. Mm. So, yeah, he's had a terrific season. Surprised. Well done. You know, Alan King, for a trainer that horses was on the sidelines for the best part of 2 to 3 weeks, has produced another magnificent effort to, looks like, finishing third in the table.
Mm. And obviously the champions are crowned on Saturday at Sandown. AP McCoy will get himself a 19th champion jockey title, so well done to him as well. In another week's time after that, we'll have the Guineas. And Richard Hannan's been fairly bullish with what he's saying about Tomor and his team for the 2000 Guineas. Do you think anything can topple Kingman, though?
At this stage of proceedings, Mark, I would have to say no. You know, I think reading Richard Hannan's comments, the thing that stood out to me right away is obviously the first string is Tourmore. Richard Hughes, you know, providing he's back and fitting well, will take the ride, which, you know, stands out right away as this is the number one hope. It doesn't even look like it was up for discussion. Richard Hughes will ride Tourmore, top juvenile. You know, made a pleasing reappearance when winning the Craven Stakes. Mark probably needs to improve on that, in all honesty, after what we've seen from Kingman in the Greenham. But yeah, there was a lot to build on, I would think, from the Craven. I wouldn't have thought you'd be 100% spot on. You know, he's had four starts, he's had four victories.
Yeah.
He's entitled to take his chance, but I think Kingman's going to be a very, very difficult horse to beat. He was just electric in the Greenham. Very, very impressive performance. And for me, he's the one they all have to beat.
Yeah.
Richard Annan's second string, a horse that won the free handicap, Shifting Power. I don't think he'll be quite good enough. Wasn't really impressed with this year's renewal of the free handicap. Mashiach, who finished second, was very, very keen in the early part of the race, and he got within a head of Shifting Power in the first five. You could have thrown a blanket over, Mark. So there was a couple of horses unlucky in running, finished third and fourth. Overall, I think the form may be a little bit suspect from that race. So, you know, I think Richard Hunt really only has one main contender, and that's Tourmore, who goes there unbeaten.
Okay. Richard Hannan also says that he expects Knight of Thunder to finish closer to Kingman, feeling that it'll be better over a mile and he won't be pulling like he was in the Greenham. And interesting comments about Shifting Power. He says he's a dark horse who will also be much more suited to a mile and to a race in which they'll go a lot quicker. And there's something a little out of the ordinary about him. So that's interesting comments.
It is indeed, but he needs to step up a long way on the form we've seen on the track. You know, he was running and being successful off a mark of 105 when winning the free handicap, and you know, he's obviously still open to a lot of progress. He's a big sort, a scopey sort, but should improve for the step up to a mile, but has to improve. You know, you're looking at the best part of a stone, really, to trouble the likes of Kingman.
Okay, then that's all we've got time for on the racing news. Now let's look ahead to Wednesday's action, and Craig's going to give us his thoughts in three of the races at Beverley.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, then the first race that Craig has picked out on Thursday is the 3 o'clock, and this is a class 3 handicap over the extended 7 furlongs, and 6th of them in the lineup here. Craig, I suppose Mutila's the one that's hard to get a handle on after that debut win, stepping into handicap company for the first time. Do you see the Johnson runner as the one to beat here?
I think you go well, Mark. I prefer another one, to be honest, but I do respect Mutila. You know, he got the verdict,
actually.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Filly by Dan Silly. So, yeah. not like me to get them mixed up, Mark. Honest, must do it at least 5 times a day. A filly that got the verdict in a 3-way go at Linkfield on debut. But you know, I think she's open to a lot of progress. Opening mark doesn't look too bad on 78, and well related. You look at the family, and Ozan was a horse that very high class horse. For Mark Johnson, was rated in the 110s. Her Jazz, another, you know, half brother, again rated in 105. So, you know, looking at the pedigree, you would think that this filly is open to a lot of progress from that Linkfield run. So do respect our chances with Paul Hannigan booked, and of course the yard won this last year for the same ownership.
Yeah,
Paul Hannigan again taking the ride. So I think she'll go very well. But the horse I like here is Kevin Ryan's horse, Belair. This gelding by Whipper broke his maiden here last July when beaten Back Lane on that occasion. And you know, you look back at the horses that finished him behind. Back Lane of Richard Farhees is now rated 85. Mark, the third horse trained by Tim Easterby, Jamboree Girl, is rated 76. And Born to Fly, Gary Harrison's runner, he went on to win next time at Yarmouth. And, you know, he's only rated 64 now. But you have to think Belair off a mark of 79, as the second and third are now rated much higher, is very, very well handicapped here. I did like his chances at Haydock last year in a nursery on his penultimate run when he finished third behind Kickboxer. That was a good effort, but it wasn't good enough on the day. He maybe want to catch fresh. He obviously loves Beverley, the uphill finish, and I think he is starting the season on a decent mark, and I think he's set for a good campaign at 3. Obviously, I think the Mark Johnson filly is the one to beat. Richard Farhees got up Holland in the race that was slightly disappointing at Windsor after being running on the poly track at Wolverhampton. Lincoln of Mick Shannon's run a decent race at Newbury, but again, you know, off a mark of 82, there isn't a lot of room for error. I think definitely the pick of the weights here is Kevin Ryan's runner, Belair.
Okay, Belair then for Craig in the 3 o'clock. Moving on to the 3:30 next, and this is a class 4 handicap over the extended mile and a half. Seven of them in the lineup here, Craig. Which ones have made the shortlist in this race?
Yeah, there's a few here, Mark. David O'Meara has Omnipresent to making his debut, gelding by Raillink, purchased for $20,000 at the horses and training sales from the Sir Michael Stout Yard. So just the type that the O'Meara Yard specialises with. But you have to say that, you know, he hasn't started the season in where he finished it basically last year. His horses tend to be needing the run this year. So when we last seen Omnipresent, he was running at Beverley over this course and distance. The ground was described as good, but when you play the videos back, it was cutting up badly, Mark, in September ground, and I think it was a lot softer than the advertised description. He'll go, you know, he isn't badly handicapped, starting out for David O'Meara on a mark of 80, but I think he may just need the run. The horse I do like is a horse trained by Jed O'Keefe, ex-Willie Haggis horse, Anida, a horse that's been hurdling recently. last year for Willie Haggis, he didn't fulfil his potential as a three-year-old simply because he was just been far too keen in his races. He was taking a real hold. I think he actually broke his maiden tag at Redcar earlier in the season, and he went on to win a handicap at Bath. And, you know, I still don't think he's badly handicapped on a mark of 77. Just didn't settle well enough to see the trip out over hurdles. But coming back to a mile and a half on the flat, I think he's sure to go well. Jed O'Keefe's horses are well forward this year. He's had three or four winners already. I think he's the one I would want to be with here in the 3:30 at Beverley.
Okay. And I'm moving on to the 4 o'clock next, and this is a Class 5 handicap over the extended mile and one furlong. In fact, it's nearly a mile and a quarter. And 12 of them in the lineup for this one, Craig. Nice each-way shape to the race, should you want to go that way. But how are you playing the 4 o'clock?
Yeah, another good race here, Mark. I think I'll touch on a couple that I do like, but we'll pass them over tomorrow in favour of a John Mackey runner. But King of Celts is a horse to keep an eye on for Tim Easterby. Horse that won a handicap here back in 2012, had a few problems, had the best part of a year off, but this time around, coming back, I thought he ran a very good race at Doncaster on ground that would have been soft enough for him. And the unfortunate thing tomorrow is he's been drawn in stall 12, which isn't an easy draw to overcome. But this horse is extremely well handicapped. He will be winning in the very near future. But as I said, stall 12 will be a difficult draw to overcome tomorrow. Another horse that goes particularly well at Beverley is Judicious, but his record fresh isn't good. I think he's 0-4 or 0-5 when returning after a break. So I do like those two horses, but a couple of big negatives there that will put me off tomorrow. So the horse I would side with is St. Thomas of John Mackey's, another course and distance specialist. Last seen running over jumps at Musselburgh when he finished behind Willow Saviour, which was a decent performance. And he starts the season back on the flat on a decent mark of 70. And his record fresh is very, very promising, Mark. I think he's won on two occasions and been placed on another two. So we know he goes well after a break. He handles the track well. He's drawn in stall 6 for a prominent runner, which is fairly decent. He ticks a lot of boxes tomorrow, and I think he has less questions to answer than the other two horses I mentioned. And I would just side with St. Thomas for this competitive 4 o'clock.
Okay, St. Thomas then. In the 4 o'clock, as always, and Craig, let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you don't mind spinning us through them one more time.
Yeah, 3 o'clock at Beverley, we're going for Belair. And in the 3:30 at Beverley, we're going for a horse called Anita of Jed O'Keefe's. And in the 4 o'clock, Mark, we're going to hopefully finish with a winner. St. Thomas, trained by John Mackey.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Craig. Enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Thursday's racing. You'll hear the action from this meeting at Beverley, as well as Warwick on the flat. There's jumps racing from Perth as well in the afternoon, and we'll finish the day with evening racing from Brighton and Newcastle. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.